Let us pray. Thank you, God, for not only being our creator, but being our redeemer and friend. Thank you for making us in your image, giving each of us dignity, value, and purpose. Thank you that you have given us the capacity to know you, to have fellowship with you. Thank you for solving the problem that hindered us from having fellowship, that being our sin. For our sin has separated us from you. But I thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to be the bridge to bring us back to you. Thank you that it was the just for the unjust. And thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to wait for Easter morning to say thank you that your Son is risen from the dead and that he is alive and well. And the proof of that, one proof, is that he is alive in us and he has made us alive in Christ. Thank you that we get to gather as your people, your body, your church, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to honor and glorify your Son, and to hear a word from you that comes from the Holy Scriptures. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you help me teach? Would you help me preach? Would you help all of us to hear and apply what thus saith the Lord? And Father, I pray for that person right now who's wondering if you can hear them. That person who is concerned over their situation and they're wondering, where are you? Do you see them? Do you even care? For that person who is in an insurmountable situation and they need a miracle, may the word go forth today and remind them that what you did for Jonah and what you did for many people in this room, you can do for them. So may this word not fall on deaf ears, but may it fall on hearts that are ready, that are fertile, hearts that are able to produce fruit. Do what you do, Lord. Get the glory, change lives, starting with me, this preacher. I'm so glad you play through broken instruments. Lord, use me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you're turning in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and then we'll go into chapter 2. My wife is in Charleston, South Carolina. Flew in on Friday. Her uncle celebrated his 80th birthday. And so she went to be with him and Pastor and Mrs. Mack and the family there. And so she'll be returning later tonight. So we pray for safe travel mercies for her. And if you're just joining with us, we started the book of Jonah last Sunday. And then on Wednesday night, we continued in the book of Jonah. And we've called Jonah the running prophet. He's the only prophet to run from God. But I'm so glad that God knows how to run too. And God ran after Jonah and got a hold of Jonah so that Jonah would run back to God. Last week, we talked about three verbs that were found in chapter 1. I believe it was verse 2, where God told him to arise, go, and cry out. Three verbs. Shouldn't have been any discussion. Should have just been obedience. But Jonah ended up putting a conjunction after the command, where the Bible says, but Jonah, he fled from the presence of the Lord. At least he attempted to do so. And then in Bible study, Gather and Grow, on our Zoom Bible study, We talked about three different kinds of storms, because as Jonah tried to flee from the Lord, he took a boat. He got into the ocean to flee so that he would not have to go to Nineveh to preach God's word to the Gentiles. He fled to Tarshish. And God sent a storm. And we talked about how there are at least three different kinds of storms. There are storms of correction. There are storms of direction, and there are storms of perfection. Jonah was in a storm of correction. And this is where we're going to pick up today when we speak on the subject of he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale, as we're going to see today. And it was from that belly of the whale that he cried out to God for help. Matter of fact, I'll read in Jonah chapter 2, and then I'll come back to chapter 1. But the Bible says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. I pray that somebody who finds themselves in a fish's belly today because of your disobedience, your poor choices, you being obstinate and disobedient to God, and you're miserable and you're struggling, today is the day. Whether you're in this sanctuary or you're watching online, today is the day to pray to the Lord from the belly of the whale, of the fish. And the Bible says, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You heard my voice. Well, as I begin this message, I have a confession to make. It's been said that confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the reputation. So I pray that after I make this confession, you won't look at me any differently than you do now. Some of you may look down on me. Others of you may say, I have the same struggle that pastor has. And here is what I must confess. Your pastor is hard of hearing. Some of y'all said, I've been known that. Yes, your pastor is hard of hearing. And it may have come from my almost 10 years being in gospel rap music, rapping on stages and things with all the sound and all that stuff, or playing my music so loud in my car. I just enjoy loud music, and my wife will always tell me, turn it down, turn the television down. And so over time, I guess my eardrums began to wear thin. And it really hit me probably 20 years ago, maybe more than that. I would be sitting in counseling sessions with you, with God's people, and you would begin to share some really intimate things with me, delicate things with me. And it's tough when someone is telling me that their life is in a shambles and their money is gone, their kid has ran away, something is going on, and it's a hard moment and they have the Kleenex, and then I have to say, can you say that again, please? What did you say? And so, and I don't ever want to be a liar where I just nod my head and I don't know what you're talking about. And I couldn't hear. And so I decided to do something about it. Tabitha, I don't know if you remember this, but when you used to work at Vanderbilt, Tabitha's Jamaican, she's had a lot of jobs. And I went and got my ears done. You remember that? I came to Vanderbilt. I don't know how long ago that was. It was over. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And so I went and I had an ear examination, and they told me that both of my ears were gone. Basically, there's a bone in there that reverberates when the sound comes, that sends messages to the brain. And both of my ears, the bone had calcified, and it was not working. It wasn't moving. So they suggested that I get these metal implants put inside of my ear. That would work and move, and they don't last forever, kind of like some of y'all have those bionic knees and things like that. They may hold you for 10, 15 years, And that's what they told me with my ear. And I had used hearing aids before. And I said, let me try this technology. And when they told me the price, I said, oh, I can only do one ear right now. And only do one ear. And I did my left ear. And I said, I'll come back around and do that right ear a little bit later. Well, they put it in and it worked miraculously. I could hear everything. Matter of fact, I would tell my wife, turn the TV down. It's too loud. But then over time, that bionic ear began to wear down and I need to go back in and get that thing replaced and then put it in the right ear as well so I can hear better. And maybe if I can hear better, Lasagna, I might be able to sing better. What do you think, Lasagna? Andrew? Man, Chauncey, I might be able to, but I'm tone deaf. I'm tone deaf. Can't hit a tune at all. Oh, man. So I can't hear. I don't hear well. And so like Q-Tip says, never on my right because my left is my good ear. So a lot of times I'll lean into y'all so I can hear. And I still can't hear. I'm like, Lord, I got to go get this thing fixed. Well, when I think about the fact that I can't hear, I'm so glad that our God is not hard of hearing. I'm so glad about that, that he hears everything. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 says, when we don't even know how to voice the words, he knows how to take moans and groans that we can't even articulate. He's able to hear us. And I'm so glad about that. Psalm 34:6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever cried out, God, help me? Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. He hears us. Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And today, as we just read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, out of the belly of Sheol, Jonah said, I cried and you heard my voice. So here's the main idea today. You can never go so low where the Most High cannot hear you cry. You can never go so low that the Most High cannot hear you cry. I got three simple points today, and then we're going to have prayer today. Number one, the Lord prepared a great fish. Number two, Jonah prayed a great prayer. And number three, the Lord did a great thing. Amen. Number one, first point, the Lord prepared a great fish. I go back to chapter 1, verse 17. The mariners have thrown Jonah overboard because the storm became so tempestuous. They were afraid they were going to die. And Jonah said, if you throw me over, the storm will cease because God is after me. He's not after you. Jonah is thrown overboard. He sinks to the bottom of that sea. But while he's going down, the prayers of these pagan, unbelieving mariners are going up to God. And they choose to leave their false God and turn to the one true God, Yahweh. So they put their faith in Yahweh right there in chapter 1. And what we see here is that Jonah, the Old Testament evangelist, the anointing is still so strong on his life that even when he is out of the will of God, God is still using him to reach people for salvation. My God, my God. So he goes down. And we pick it up at verse 17 of chapter 1. And the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. Now, what I just read to you is problematic to a lot of people, especially a lot of people who think that they're smart. Especially a lot of people who think they're smarter than God. Because there will be people who will go to seminary to learn the deep things of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Hebrew and the Greek and all that. They'll go to seminary, but then they'll start leaning on their own understanding and rely completely on reason, and faith goes out the window, and seminary becomes cemetery, and these preachers go in with faith in God, and they come out as virtual agnostics, wondering if there is a God or not. And because of passages like this, where they say there's no way that a whale or a fish could swallow a man and keep a man inside of him for 3 days and three nights, and that man come out alive. And they will say, because of that whale of a story, I don't believe that passage, I don't believe that book, and I don't believe the Bible, because that is nothing but a fairy tale. Matter of fact, it's not historical, it's allegorical to these kinds of people. An allegory is nothing but a parabolic story with a spiritual meaning, a little fiction that gives you a little message. And so they're saying the point of Jonah is not historical. There's an allegory. It's just trying to tell you what it means, you know, to have fellowship with God. And if you run from God, God will come after you. Get the message. Okay, we'll get the message, but we also believe that it's true. We also believe that it's real. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, all of it. But dig it though. I want to know, could God have sent a fish already that had existed? Because it says here that he prepared a great fish. So could God have sent a fish that he had already made? Or could God have prepared a unique fish for that unique situation to swallow Jonah? So I got to go back. Because again, my reasoning, man, I can't even tell you how electricity works, but I'm gonna try to tell you what God can and cannot do. Yeah. So I got a couple of questions for people who think that this is a fairy tale, who think that this just can't happen. I got a couple of questions for those deep theologues, those people who are so smart, not realizing that God gave them the brain they have to think with, that's questioning him. But let me ask a couple of questions with some yes or no answers. Yes or no? Can God create a fish that can swallow a man whole? Yes. Yeah, if he wanted to do that, he could, right? Yes or no? Can God keep a man alive in that fish for 3 days and three nights? Yes, he could. Yes or no? Can God make a serpent that can talk to Adam and Eve? Because that's another one too. People say, oh, that's not real. The Bible's not real. It's full of fairy tales. Well, your God is very small and minute. Yes or no, can God make animals march two by two to the ark? Can he do it? Yes, he can. I believe it's true. Yes or no, can God make a donkey speak to a prophet named Balaam? Yes, he can. If he can make a donkey speak, I know he can make this preacher speak. Yes or no, can God make ravens feed Elijah the prophet two times a day? Yes, he can. Yes or no? Can God do the impossible? Yes, yes he can. You better believe that. Yes, he can do the impossible. Yes or no? Can God cause his son to be born of a virgin? Yes. Yes or no? Can God occupy a human body? Yes. Yes or no? Can God die on a cross to take away the sins of the world? Yes. Yes or no? Can God raise himself from the dead? Yes. Yes or no? Can God save a sinner? Yes. That's a miracle too. And can God change the life of a sinner? Yes. I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale or a great fish because God is able. I also believe it because Jesus said so. That ought to silence it right there, because Jesus said so. In Matthew chapter 12, it's also found in the Gospel of Luke. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So if he didn't believe in Jonah, he wouldn't have used Jonah to talk to Jewish people who did believe in Jonah, because they read the Torah, they read the Old Testament, and they understood the story, and Jesus saw him as a type or a figure of what he was going to do after having been crucified and laid in the tomb. And as he came out
with a resurrection, if you will, Jesus is saying, I will come out of the grave in resurrection power. So as he's talking to them, obviously he believes in Jonah because he believes in what he's about to accomplish for the sins of the world and saving us. So the Lord prepared a great fish. Either it was a pre-existent fish, or it was a fish that he made for that moment that was able to swallow this man, this running prophet. So I'm going to leave it right there and move on to point two. Jonah prayed a great prayer. So not only did the Lord prepare a great fish, but Jonah prayed a great prayer. And I'm going to start again in verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Let me stop right there. If the only time you pray is when you get in trouble, that may be why you keep getting in trouble. Now, the good thing is he hears us. But we want to turn prayers of affliction into prayers of affection. If the only time you talk to God is when you're going through something, you got problems, you got issues, you need some money, you're sick, whatever, okay. But let's not let that be the only time we talk to him. Affection. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I just want to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He created me for his glory, to love on him, to get to know him, and not just try to get fire insurance to get out of hell free. But no, I want to walk with him and talk with him, and I want to hear him talk to me as he walks with me. Fellowship, intimacy with God. I want to abide in the vine, abide in Jesus, remain in him, get to know him. I love his voice. Man, don't let the only time I pray be when I'm in trouble or I'm in the belly of a whale. May that not be your experience. Jonah ran from God in rebellion. Now he's running to God in repentance. Had he ran to God in prayer in chapter 1, he wouldn't find himself in the whale in chapter 2. But he ran, and I'm so glad that when God called him, he hung up the line. But now he's calling God and hoping that the line ain't busy. Isn't that how it works sometimes? Jonah ran, but he prayed. I'm so glad. He says, I cried out in verse 2 to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. Sheol, for Old Testament folks, that was the place of departed spirits. When people would die, they would go to Sheol. Sheol had an air-conditioned side and a heated side. Heated side had flames and all that stuff. You didn't want to go there. You didn't want to go to Abraham's bosom. People who put faith in Abraham's seed, i.e. the Messiah, who was to come. The Jewish people looked forward to the Messiah, to the deliverer. And that faith made them right with God. Just like we look back to the Messiah, Jesus, who came, they were saved by the same Messiah. Looking forward, us looking back, but looking to the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Sheol, you go to Abraham's bosom or you go to the pit. And Jonah is saying here, man, I cried out of Sheol, like he died. And he said, you heard my voice. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So he's saying, man, I was out of fellowship with God. And the most miserable person is a Christian who is out of fellowship with God. God not only created you for his glory, but he saved you, caused you to be born again for his glory. And when we're not walking in our purpose, walking with God, walking with Jesus, walking in the Spirit, man, we are miserable people. The Holy Spirit, his fire is quenched. We've grieved him. We are unsettled. And God has done that because this is a personal relationship. And I don't want to be out of step with God for long. So, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. And I'm running back to you. Forgive me. Now, we do that. I do it every day at some point throughout the day. I end up falling short, failing God, thinking that I'm God, that I don't need God. And I got to repent of my stupidity and my self-righteousness, my selfishness, my self-reliance throughout the day. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. You may think that your stuff don't stink, but let me tell you, your stuff does stink, and you need Jesus every day, throughout the day, all day, because his mercy is new throughout the day. Yeah. Lord God, I need you. Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm broken. I'm saved, but man, I'm in sanctification, but I'm not perfect yet. I still struggle with stuff in my mind, with my mouth, with my eyes, with my hands, feelings, all of that. I struggle, lack of faith. Lord, I need you. I'm holding on to him like we sang today, but I thank God he's holding on to me, because when I'm not faithful, he remains faithful. He will not deny himself. That's the walk. And that mercy says, man, let me straighten up and do what God's called me to do. He could have exposed me. He could have broke me. He could have took me, but he gave me mercy. He gave me grace. He gave me life. He gave me breath. I want to obey him. I want to love him. Lord, I'm sorry, God. That's the walk. And here, Jonah is saying, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. This is speaking of the temple in Jerusalem. The second temple during the period which Jonah lived. The second temple, Zerubbabel's temple. And the Jews would look to the temple, because looking to the temple was like looking to the God of the temple. He doesn't dwell in the temple, because the highest heavens cannot contain his glory, and neither can a building or a little gold box called the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. It's all symbolic. Yeah, his presence is there, but don't you think he's contained to a building, y'all? But he's there. God says, I'll set my name on this place. And so in Daniel chapter 6, when Daniel's taken into Babylon, and they're trying to get Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and the only way they can get him is to come up with something against him and his God. Anybody who prays to any other God besides Nebuchadnezzar is going to be thrown into the lion's den. But the Bible says that Daniel said, no, I've come this far by faith. I'm not going to bow. I'm not giving up. He opened up his windows. He says, I'm not ashamed. And the Bible says he faced towards Jerusalem while he was there in Babylon, and he prayed to God in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So if you're going to get me, I'm going out, man, 10 toes down. If you're going to come get me, I'm going out praying and talking to my God. They threw him in the lion's den, and y'all know what happened. Those lions ended up becoming a pillow, and the brother had a good night's sleep that night. He prayed towards Jerusalem. He could not make it to the temple. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. He said, man, I miss it. I'm here in Babylon, but I'm praying. Jonah's in the belly of the whale. He's not at church. He's not at the temple, but he know how his mama raised him. He know how his daddy raised him. He grew up in the things of God. And he says, I'm looking towards the house of God. I'm looking towards the temple. And he begins to pray. Verse 5, the waters surrounded me. This is testimony, y'all. Even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down. This is the third time in two chapters that Jonah is going down. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, oh, Lord, my God. In other words, he's going down, down, down. And God begins to lift him up. There's no place so low that God can not only hear you, but he can lift you up out of. That's his power. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. He's thinking he's about to die. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up. My prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Now, this temple here is not the one in Jerusalem. This is God's holy temple in glory in heaven. And so he's like, yeah. I want to see the temple. I'm going to get back to the temple. Lord, I know your presence is there, but I know you're the most high God who sits high and looks low. Oh, God, my prayers are going up to you. Help me, God. Help me get out of this mess that I created on my own and in my disobedience. Verse 8. those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And an idol doesn't have to be a rock or a tree or the sun in the sky or gold or silver or Asherah or Baal. An idol can be yourself. Anything that we put before God is not worthy of our worship, our time, our adoration, our finances, anything. And many times we put ourselves before God. That's why John the Baptist said, Lord, I must decrease that you might increase, because it's not about me. They're not coming to hear me. They want to hear about you through me. It's not about me. I must decrease. I don't want to make an idol out of myself and worship myself. And so what he's doing here is he is repenting, because obviously he was the idol. And he says here, I'm going to go back to it now. Verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But some of us are so prideful, we just won't repent. Some of us are so self-reliant, so arrogant, that even in a horrible situation, not only in the bottom of the sea, but in the bottom of a great fish, some of us still won't repent. Jonah said, that ain't my testimony, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. In other words, Lord, if you get me out of this, anybody? You get me out of this one. Everything I promised I would do, I'm going to do. All the sacrifices I said I would give to you, if you just get me out of this one. And from what we see of Jonah, he did honor what he was saying to God. I will do what you told me to do. I'll go preach to those people over there. That's next week. But he didn't go with a great attitude, though. We'll talk about that. He's saying, I'll do what I promised. And then he said, salvation is of the Lord. Not just the saving of my soul, but the saving of my situation. Jesus is just not the savior of your soul. He's the savior of your life. Every circumstance, every situation. Jesus, take the wheel. You be in a car, about to head and hit some. Oh, Jesus. He's the savior. But I like this breakdown here, because he says salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus' name, Yeshua, means the Lord is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord is salvation. Basically, what he's saying here is, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord. He's saying, Yeshua. It's of you, God. It's not of me, not of my power, not of my resources, not of my friends, not of my money, not of my can do, not of my desire to do good things. It's by grace through faith in your mercy. Save me, Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You get all the glory for delivering me. I just wish the Jonah that prayed in that fish would have kept that same mindset when he got on land. Yeah, he went in obedience, but his heart. And as we're going to see, the book of Jonah ends without us realizing, did Jonah's heart change? And I believe God has allowed that book to end that way for us to always ask, where's my heart at with God? Because God not only wants to work in your situation, he wants to work in your heart. What good is getting the physical deliverance if there's no spiritual deliverance? Matter of fact, he's more concerned about that than this. Remember when they brought the crippled man to Jesus, they came through the roof and brought him down. And it's obvious what his need was. He needed to walk. But God saw a greater need. He needed to be forgiven. And Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute, Jesus. He needed something done externally. But Jesus said, no, above all, he needed something done internally. Man, your sins are forgiven. And then they start murmuring, who does man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Well, don't get it twisted. I am God in the flesh. But just so you know that, homeboy, get up and walk. So what came first? The spiritual, the internal, then the physical. A lot of times we want the external and the physical, but we don't want God to touch our hearts. Have your way oh God. Jonah's life was saved by a prayer. A belly of a whale prayer. And a belly of a whale prayer can come from the gutter. It can come from an alley. A belly of a whale prayer can come from a jail cell. Lord, help me. Get me out of here. It can come from a courtroom. You can cry a belly of a whale prayer in the back of a police car. Some of us here have been there. We can cry a belly of a prayer from an empty house because my spouse isn't with me. My children aren't with me. And you're crying out to God. You can cry a belly of a whale prayer from the unemployment line. You can call to the Lord from the altar of a church. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, he is listening. I told y'all last week when I played football, I broke my ankle 2 weeks into summer practice and wasn't able to play football. But that was the best break of my life. 1986 in August, because that was the beginning of growing in God. I think the last time I prayed was when I prayed and asked him to save me in 1984. And I wasn't growing in intimacy with God. I wasn't being discipled, wasn't reading my Bible, going to church every after the party, Lord, save me again, going through all of that mess. God says, I got to order up a whalogram for this brother. Broke my leg. I'm away from home, 4.5 hours from home, mother, father not with me. Football is gone. They had to screw my ankle back together. I don't know anybody. I don't have any money for school. Laying on my back in that hospital in Lynchburg, Virginia, in the belly of a whale, I looked up and I said, God, help me. And that was the beginning in my life right there. Yeah, I got saved. But now I was beginning to live like a child of God because God had to break me in the belly of football in a hospital to get me to cry out to him. And from that point on, he began to walk with me and work with me. I was more cognizant and aware of his voice. I had a hunger for the word. I started rapping for Jesus. Wasn't perfect, still not perfect today, but something shifted in me. I was in the belly of a whale and I prayed. And I look back to that moment because here's the thing. When he gets you out of the belly of a whale, you shouldn't keep having to go back and forth to bellies. You don't want to go back to that state of disobedience and being out of fellowship with him. But if you are there, because some of us just got to learn the hard way, he's got something for you. Let me say something to the parents as I begin to close. If your children are in the belly of a whale because they are running from God and they're too stupid to pray for themselves, they're too hardened to pray for themselves, you better intercede for your children. Pray for them until they can pray for themselves. Somebody prayed for you until you could pray for yourself. Finally, the Lord did a great thing, Strong Tower. Verse 10 of chapter 2, he did a great thing. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God spoke to the fish that he had created to discipline the brother. He spoke to it and it vomited the brother onto land. When you pray, have an expectation that God will speak to your situation. When you pray, have an expectation, because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, that when you pray and you pray according to the will of God, you can have confidence that he hears. How do I know the will of God? The will of God is found in the word of God. So when I pray, God hears me and he gives me what I'm asking for. Not how I want, not when I want, not the way I want, but the way he wants and how he wants and when he wants. He hears me. He doesn't say, oh, no, Joker, no, I'm not picking up the prayer line on you. No, no, he hears. And the proof that God heard your prayers is that he starts changing. One of the proofs that you know the Lord, you ought to be able to look and see how he's answered prayer in your life. And when foresight is shaky, Man, turn around and look at hindsight and see all the things that he did in your life to give you courage for praying going forward. Because as Pastor Jewel said, he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm tripping, but he's not. So he'll move. He'll speak to my situation. The Lord did a great thing and gave Jonah another chance. The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Somebody said, ew, but that's a blessing right there. I know you saw the vomit. Ew. No, that's a blessing right there. Blech, onto dry land. Who needs God to speak to the fish? Who needs God to speak to your heart? You dug a hole. You're in it. You've hit the bottom not knowing that Jesus is the rock on the bottom. Come on now. Let's stop the running. Let's stop the disobedience. Let's stop doing what I want to do when I want to do it. I am God. And God is like, okay, are you going to pray to me now because you realize that you're not? And when he gives you another chance, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? In conclusion, Strong Tower, Jonah said to God, you heard me. Where would I be today if you didn't hear me? You heard me. I was crying out to you. You heard me. Thank God. You can never go so low where the Most High cannot hear you cry. And if Jonah had not cried, he would have drowned. You don't have to drown because God would have found someone else. But as God was going after the Ninevites, he was also pursuing his prophet in love. Because God cares about the nations and he cares about individuals. Jonah had a choice to make. Just like he chose to run, he had a choice to repent and cry out to God. And he said, you heard me. Thank you that you heard me. And the Bible says he gave him a second chance. Well, y'all know I'm a Marvel comic book guy. But every now and then there's a DC illustration that fits. And as much as I don't want to share this illustration, I'm going to share it. Superman. He has a whole lot of superpowers. X-ray vision. Red stuff comes out of his eyes and blow people up. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He's able to leap over buildings in a single bound. He can stop locomotives. He can fly, all this stuff. But what gets overlooked a lot of times is homeboy got supersonic hearing. Oh, y'all don't hear me? He's got supersonic hearing. And the woman that he loves, her name is Lois Lane. And for whatever reason, Lois is always getting in some trouble. Where she needs Superman to rescue her. Now, I don't know why she can't figure out Clark Kent is Superman. I don't know how glasses can conceal your whole identity. Pastor Chris, John Kiefer. Pastor Chris, John Kiefer. But in one of the movies, man, I think it was Batman versus Superman, and Lex Luthor had this plan, and he had Lois Lane on the other side of town and had his goons throw her out a building. And while Superman is talking to Lex Luthor, he could hear Lois Lane cry from miles away. Superman, help, Superman. Homeboy dropped everything he was doing, and he flew over there and saved Lois Lane. But there's somebody more super than Superman. Yeah. Yeah. I ain't going there yet. I'm talking about Super Mom. It's Women's History Month, right? Mothers have ears to hear that chilling, crying in the next room. And based on the cry, they know whether that cry means he hungry, she's wet, she just want to be picked up, he's not feeling well. Mamas can not only hear the cry, but mamas can discern the cry. And they're going to get up and go. Can a mother say amen? It's true, ain't it? Y'all can hear stuff. Oh, Lord, when we got married, started having kids, them kids start crying at night, I'm rolling over. I don't hear a thing. My wife's sleeping. She can hear anything going on and don't even elbow me to get me up. She's a good wife. And then she go in there. But there's somebody, now y'all can go, who hears better than Superman. There's somebody who hears better than Supermom. And that's our super God. Oh, he can hear you when you're down. Oh, he can hear you when you're in the gutter. He can hear you when you're struggling. He can hear you when you need help. He hears you. And not only does he hear you, he knows how to come and save you and lift you up out of that situation. So I just wonder today, as we pray, is there anybody here that needs to talk to God? Would everybody stand to their feet, please? God sent this message for somebody. Somebody who knows it's time. Or somebody who's like my children, my spouse, a co-worker, relative. They're in this place of being rebellious against God. I'm going to stand in the gap for them and ask them to soften their heart. I'm going to ask you to come and pray with me as we close the service. If you need to pray for yourself, for someone else, if you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, you need to give your life to Jesus, whatever it may be, come join me. Pray. This is the house of God. No shame in this house. Come on. House of prayer. Let's go. May it not be said that you don't have because you have not asked. It's okay to cry out and ask God for help for yourself, for your family, for your friends. Don't stay in that great fish's belly. Come on, let's pray. Come on. And if you don't mind, I'm when I ask a couple of people, just come lay their hands on you. My intercessors, just come lay hands. Come on now. Jonah's life changed with a prayer. Our lives changed with the prayer of salvation. And then we find ourselves needing prayers of deliverance. And help. Oh, God, help me. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due season. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Chris, don't take all that. I'll pray in my car. Yeah, you could do that. But it sounds like you're still full of you. Come on, man. Come on, sis. We're running back to God. Some of us are running to him for the first time. Some of us are running to God, praying for that loved one. God, we're running. We need you. Jonah ran back. Thank God he lifted up his eyes in that fish and asked God to hear him. Before I pray, children of God, you take a moment and pray and talk.
I am just a man You tell me you've been there and hold your nails guarded so I can see. Now I know I am free and I am running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are open wide, and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me, and I am running back to you. Why do I go away when I know I am no good? I have taken advantage of your love and grace. Forgive me, oh, and take me home. Take me home. I'm running to you, Savior. I see you standing there for me, yeah. Your arms are open so wide, and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me, and I am running back to you. Why did I go away when I know I am no good? I'm running back to you.
Father God, we thank you that you hear us. We just don't want you to hear us when we're struggling. We know you want to hear us when we're doing well. But the truth is, we're struggling. All we like sheep have gone astray, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, thank you that you remember our frame, that we are dust, and that we do our own thing so much. Some of us have descended deep into despair and disobedience. Some of us have despaired deep into some places that you never meant for us to go, and one time we never wanted to go. But here we are. And I'm so glad that you hear us. Lord, I'm also glad Jonah didn't have to pray a long prayer. Because when you're desperate, you don't have to pray a lot of words. You just say, Lord, help me. Thank you, Lord, that you know what's going on in every heart of every person here at the altar, every person assembled in the sanctuary, everyone watching online. And thank you that you care. Thank you that you love us. Holy Spirit, would you provide some resurrection power in your people to get up, to walk away, to walk to you? Matter of fact, Lord,
If our focus is on holding on to you, we won't focus on holding on to the idols that took us down. We're coming to you, not to church. We're coming to you, not religion. We're coming to Jesus, not performance-based acceptance. We want you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Restore your people. Replenish your people. Restore the joy of their salvation. And for those of us who are praying for children, grandchildren, Lord, we stand in the gap for them the way we would want them to stand in the gap for us. Until they can believe you for themselves, we're going to believe you for them. Asking, Lord God, that you will keep them from danger seen and unseen. That for those dead ends and those alleys that they have taken themselves down into, Lord, would you send your angels and heavenly hydraulics to lift them up, turn them around, place their feet on solid ground, bring them out of these places of lunacy and ignorance. Lord God, we pray for your healing and your deliverance on our family members. May the devil not have his way on anybody in our family. No, God, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're not willing that any should perish. Thank you, Lord God, that you take no delight in the death of the wicked. Thank you, Lord God, that you sit high, look low, and your reach is long. Oh, God, touch, deliver, heal, rescue. What you did for Jonah, do for our family, do for our children, do for our friends, do for us. Jesus, you said when we pray like this, that you might be delivered from the evil one. The evil one has tried us, oh God, but would you deliver us from his attempts, from his temptation, from his trials, from his tests, from his wickedness, from the Lord? Deliver us, Jesus, because we cannot deliver ourselves. We're going to work with you, not against you. We're going to work and flow with the Holy Spirit and not grieve him. We submit to you, oh God. Have your way. We submit to you, God. Fill us with joy. Fill us with power. Fill us with hope. Give us a brand new mind, a desire for the word of God, a desire for fellowship, a desire for holiness. Do it in us, oh God, because that's what we want, because you're working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We don't like being in a whale's guts. We don't like being at the bottom of the sea. We want to walk on the land with you the way we're supposed to. Do it, Jesus. Deliver us from drugs. Deliver us from abuse of alcohol. Deliver from fornication. Deliver from adultery. Deliver from this. Deliver from that. Because you are Jesus, the God who saves. Thank you, God. Have your way. For it's in the only name that matters that I pray. And all of God's people said, I dare somebody put their hands together and give him a praise. He heard you. 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 Ain't nothing left to do now but go home. Let's pray. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's according to the power of God that's working in us. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, and all of God's people said, hallelujah, Jesus.